Okay, good morning, good morning, good morning. If you could make your way back to your seats, that would be good. Thank you very much. I'm going to ask if the Bayer family would come and join me on stage. Carl and Jenny and Nick and Samantha, come on, Melissa and Harrison, come up on stage. If you would quickly, please. Come on, could I have our exec team come on up. Pastor Darrell, Marichal, Cheryl, come on. Everyone, race the stage. Well, I've called all these lovely people to stage today. Come on, right over here, right in the center. Today we're saying goodbye to Samantha. And Samantha's been on a massive journey for some time in terms of her studies and preparation for this moment. And she's leaving very shortly, not this week, but next week. She'll be leaving for the USA, for Oklahoma, and going to university there. Won a scholarship. For 2 years, a scholarship studying over there. She's studying, health and science. And her dream is to become a professional soccer player. That is her dream. And we just wanted to get her up on stage today. She's praying that, you know, the 2 years might be extended to a 4-year stay in the USA to kind of complete this whole deal. And Carl will be going over for 4 weeks, getting things settled and making sure his girl's okay over there. This is such a huge move. This really is. When I was 17, I left home. I went 1,000 kilometres away. You're going away a whole lot further. And it's a big deal to leave home and leave your loved ones and your circle of friends and then your church family. And we just wanted Samantha to know that we as a church family will be praying that she'll be kicking some goals. That's what we're praying. We're praying she'll be kicking goals with the study and that opportunities will open up and her dreams would be realized. And we just wanted to say thank you to her for her faithfulness, her commitment to our house, her faithful service on team. She's been amazing, and just watching her progress through, you know, her high school years and to graduate from high school, start work here while she was waiting to go to the USA, and just the development of her personhood. And we love who she is, we also love who she's becoming, and we can't wait to see her on the soccer field representing Australia as a professional soccer player. That would be amazing. Of course, the entire Bayer family, we're so proud of all of them. We love them, and they love us as a church, and they all faithfully serve. And this is a big week for this fam bam, and so we're going to pray. I want you to just reach out your hand if you would. Why don't you stand to your feet? Let's stand together, reach out your hand and pray. And don't forget to keep praying for Samantha. If you're a prayer, keep her in your prayers. Write her down in your prayer book. Keep praying. If you've got a connection with her in some way on social media, make sure you share her messages of love and send her money. That'll be great. Father, we thank you for Samantha. And Lord, today we are blessing her. And we're sending her out with the blessing and the goodness and the love and the favor of God today. It has been amazing just to watch her develop, to watch her personality develop, her giftedness develop, for her growing up, Lord, into this beautiful young woman that she is today. And Lord, we release her to go overseas and fulfill everything, God, that you have placed within her heart. May all of her dreams be realized, we pray. May doors continue to open for her. Go before her. Keep her safe. Protect her from all harm, we pray in Jesus' name, and continue to promote her. Help mum and dad through this big moment and her brothers and sisters through this big moment, Father, we pray today. As a family, as they do this journey together, make it all work is my prayer, our prayer today in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. God bless you, Samantha. We've got a little gift for you, some little gifts, and maybe you might, it says, you notice what it says? Amazing grace. Amazing grace. Why don't you give them a big hand today? Thank you very, very much. God bless you, love. Thank you to the Bayer family. Thank you, team. Wow, 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 wow. Everyone say wow, 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 wow. What a good thing it is to be in church and enjoying what we're doing and loving Jesus and being loved by Jesus. And I think it's all just so good. We're going to wish a couple of people happy birthday for this week that's gone. Kimberly Rose, happy birthday to you. Had a big birthday this week. Who else has had a birthday? Brad Sorey has one coming up. We celebrated last night. Happy birthday to Bradster. Big birthday for Brad. Miss Leanne has a birthday coming up on Monday tomorrow. Happy birthday, Miss Leanne. Let me see. Heath, who's not in the room, he's probably online with us today, joining us online, or he'll be definitely online watching afterwards. Heath, happy birthday to you, my good friend. And if you've had a birthday, we've missed you. Happy birthday. You've probably had a good... Who? Melissa Bayer. How do we miss that? Where are you, Melissa Bayer? Melissa Bayer, happy birthday to you, sweetie. Happy birthday. I don't know. I don't know how I miss that, because all the good people are born in July. That's all I know. All I know is all the good people are born in July. So happy birthday to you. Well, we're going to conclude today. Everyone say thank you. We are going to conclude today the thoughts that we've been steering with for a few weeks now, about a month. We've been talking about scandalous grace, and that was kicked off for us by Pastor John Riewoldt, a guest that was with us and a few weeks ago, and Pastor John's probably online today also joining with us, and welcome to all of our online friends, by the way. Good to have you in the room with us today via that stream. Scandalous grace. You know the truth about the grace of God is this, is you don't get grace, grace gets you. And when grace gets you, you are never the same again. When grace really captures your heart, your mind, your soul, your spirit, it really changes you as a person. Because what begins to happen immediately is you begin to take on, in baby steps, you begin to take on a grace-shaped life. And your life begins to be both determined and defined by the grace that God gives to every one of us. And the truth is, if we don't understand grace, then we fail to understand how God has intended for us to both live in and out of grace. To live in grace for ourselves, to receive grace. A lot of people have trouble receiving grace. To receive the grace of God, but also to live out of it. In other words, to give grace to other people. Like the Bible says, you've freely received, now freely give. And so you receive it freely, and you give it away freely to other people. We're all in need of a little bit of grace, aren't we? Yeah. Come on. We're all in need of a little bit of grace. Anyone in the room in need of grace today? You are. We are. I am. We all are. We're all in need of grace. We looked at this verse last week in terms of what the Bible says about grace. Paul writes this. He writes, if by one man's offense death reigned through the one, that's Adam in the beginning when he sinned, we all became sinners in him. Paul says, much more those who receive the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one, Jesus Christ. God's goal for you is to reign in life. God's goal for you is to reign in life, to win in life, to have God's blessing on your life, to live in and around, surrounded by the goodness and the favor of God. And we looked last week at how grace does these things for us. Grace, God's scandalous grace, changes how we see ourselves. This is such a big truth, such a simple truth, but such a big truth that it changes the way we see ourselves, the way we view ourselves. So many people are down on themselves, harder on themselves than they should be, and sometimes people just need to cut themselves a little bit of slack and a little bit of grace that God extends to us in the moments of life when we find it really challenging. The truth is, most people feel far from reigning in life when that is actually the goal that God has for us. And then secondly, that reigning in life is not about our perfection, it's about our position. It's about who you are. Who you are, not what you do. Today, in conclusion, what I want to do is I want to tell you a story today from the book of 2 Samuel chapter 4 and 2 Samuel chapter 9. in the Old Testament. It starts with the moment in history when King Saul, the king of Israel, that his dynasty had reached its peak. It had reached its peak, and there was a lot of trouble around his kingdom and his rulership, his authority in the land, and his kingship was beginning to deteriorate. He had a whole lot of personal issues and personal problems that were surrounding his life because he had turned his back on God. Trent mentioned a few moments ago about that verse in Jeremiah that is the promise, but then there's the principle, the pursuit of God. Well, Saul had stopped pursuing God and he turned his back on God and the things of God, and his world was starting to crumble. There's a lesson in that for every one of us. You might want to make note. Keep pursuing. Keep pursuing the person and the presence and the heart of God. So everything's beginning to crumble for King Saul. Now, Saul had a son named Jonathan, and Jonathan had a son named Mephibosheth. I just want you to remember that. We're going to come into that thought in a few moments' time. One day there was a battle. And Saul and Jonathan, this is a regular thing, they were fighting on the field. That was the day when the kings would actually fight. Saul and Jonathan were both fighting on the field. And Saul and Jonathan were killed on the field on this particular day in the battle. The nurse or the nanny who was looking after Mephibosheth in the tents, which was close to where the battle was being fought, she ran and panicked when she heard the news, and she dropped Mephibosheth. Now, Mephibosheth was about 5 years of age when he was dropped. She dropped him when she was running in panic, and Mephibosheth, as a result, became crippled as a result of that accident, and he was crippled for the rest of his life. We fast forward the story now to 2 Samuel chapter 9, when David is now on the throne and is the king of Israel. Years later, years after Mephibosheth had been crippled, and David's sitting on his throne as king of Israel. He's reflecting on this incredible relationship with Saul's son, Jonathan, that he used to enjoy when they were growing up together, when they were young men. They had a very unique bond of friendship and commitment to each other. Jonathan was a very generous, selfless person in terms of the connection that he had with David, and Jonathan realized and understood that David would be the future king of Israel, not him, and so he was a very influential part of David's life for a portion of his life. King David is one day sitting in the palace and he's just reminiscing about his days gone by when he's a young man, and he remembered Jonathan and how fond he was of his friendship with Jonathan. And in that moment he calls a man called Ziba to his presence, and he says this to Ziba. He says, "Is there anyone from the household of Saul that I can show God's kindness to today on behalf of Jonathan, my friend?" And Ziba responded, "King, there is one who lives in Lodabar, and his name is Mephibosheth." And so David sent for Mephibosheth and had Mephibosheth brought to the king's presence, to the palace. You see, David never actually knew of Mephibosheth, is what the Bible hints. He never knew that Mephibosheth was a son of Jonathan's. And Mephibosheth, he comes before the king, and David says to him, "Hey, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid of this moment. I'm not going to do you any harm," because in those days, if you were a family member of a previous king, often your destiny was to be put to death. It was to your peril to be related to the previous king. Jonathan had a son, this son called Mephibosheth, who was crippled, and when David realized that he still existed, that there was someone in the family line, he wanted to do something nice. He wanted to do something kind. And he says, "I want to show you some kindness because of your father, Jonathan." And he makes him this promise. He says, "I want to restore unto you all the land, all the land that your father Jonathan owned. I will restore everything to you that your grandfather Saul owned. I'm giving it all back to you. And I'm going to order Ziba and all of his servants to work the land for you. This is a good promise. To work the land for you. They're going to farm the land. And I want you, Mephibosheth, to come and live in my palace, in my presence. I want you to eat at my table. I want you to eat at the king's table, eat the king's food, drink the king's wine. How many of you know the king's food, the king's wine, the king's table is the best table in the land? There was no other place to eat and be but at the king's table. The place to be seen was at the, everyone say it, king's table. At the king's table. And Mephibosheth, all of a sudden, finds himself elevated out of a place called Lodabar and promoted to live forever for the rest of his days at the king's palace and to enjoy the king's table because of his father and his grandfather and the relationship that King David had with them. I want you to note Mephibosheth's response in 2 Samuel 9:8. It says, Mephibosheth fell to the ground and he said, should the king show such kindness to a dead dog? A dead dog. Talk about not seeing yourself very well. A dead dog like me. Should the king show such favor to a dead dog like me? In other words, he's saying to himself, what did I ever do to be noticed by the king, a dead dog like me? I'm a nobody. I don't have anything. I have nothing to offer. I have nothing to bring. I have no gift to please the king with. I can't give him anything at all. I'm just a dead dog who lives in a little place that is called Lodabar. What did I do to deserve this? You know, the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 6, that God has raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places with Christ Jesus. There's a lot of us that carry the same kind of spirit and the same kind of space and atmosphere and thought around our world as Mephibosheth did in this moment of his life. In terms of grace, I think the first challenge in being repositioned in life to be seated in heavenly places with Christ Jesus, for God to be making us who we are as sons and daughters of God, is simply accepting what we don't deserve. Because that's what we're told. Grace is what we don't deserve. It's God freely giving us something that we can't earn. We've not earned it. You can't pay for it. It's a meal you cannot pay for. Only God can pay for it. And a lot of us have trouble accepting what we don't deserve. You see, Mephibosheth, he suffered from a really bad case of dead dog-itis. Dead dog-itis. This, who am I? Why would you do this for a dead dog like me? You might be feeling like a dead dog today. Am I preaching to anybody? You might be feeling like a dead dog today. His reaction to the king was, hang on, king, you don't know me. You don't know me enough to give me this thing that you want to give me. You don't know that I'm from Lodabar, king. Do you know where I'm from? Do you know who I am? Do you know what I've done? This is what Mephibosheth is saying to himself. You see, Lodabar was literally one of the lowest places that you could come from. That's why it's called Lodabar. Lodabar. It really means it's a place of meaning, a place of low expectation. Nothing good happens and nothing good ever comes from Lodabar. No one ever leaves Lodabar. If you're born in Lodabar, you stay in Lodabar, and everyone knows you come from Lodabar. Am I speaking to anyone today? Come on. We all kind of relate to that thought. You know, we're defined by our postcode. We're defined by where we live, the suburb we live in, and people can look down on you because of that. I don't know whether you've ever had that. People finish the conversation with you when they find out where you live. Come on, the suburb you live in. I'm not saying it today, but you know what I mean. They were at the low end of the food chain, the people of Lodabar. It literally means a fruitless, barren land. A fruitless, barren land. Here's what I believe about all of humanity. This is what I believe to be true about all of us. I believe every single person has crippling life experiences. Under the surface, for most people, lurks insecurity, lurks resentment, lurks unforgiveness. Even though people look like they have it all together, like looking out over this audience today, over this family today, over this group of people today, you all look so amazing, so beautiful, so spectacular, so together. You really do. You look so together today. You have life just going on. You are kicking it today. You are making it happen. You are reigning in life today. But I know that even though the Bible says you're reigning in life and you're seated in heavenly places with Christ Jesus, there are some people are feeling like they're from Lodabar today. And you might smell like a dead dog. You might look like a dead dog. You might feel like a dead dog. But can I say to you today, you are not a dead dog. No one bark right now. You are not a dead dog at all. No matter what it looks like, no matter what it sounds like, God's got a plan. He's got a promise, and it's on its way to you. You know, Mephibosheth had no idea what was going to happen that day. That's the thing I love about God. You have no idea of the surprises that He has in store for you. Eye has not seen, ear has not heard, neither has it entered into the heart of man what God has prepared for those that love Him and are called according to His purpose. What a beautiful thought that God just has so much that you've not seen yet. He's got so much in store for you, set aside for you, wrapped up for you, designed for you. So don't be defined by your postcode. Don't be defined by the events of life, the brokenness, the bruises, the hurt, the rejections, the abuse, the struggle, the habits, the impulses that are around your life. Welcome to the world of humanity. Welcome to the world of humanity. You see, you thought you were the only one. You thought you were the only one. Mephibosheth thought he was the only one. But we're not the only one. We're all in this together. We're all dogs. We are. We're all sinners. We're all broken. We're all bruised. We all need God. We all need the grace of God, and we all need grace. You know, most people don't feel good about themselves, and they really struggle to accept the position, the love, the kindness, the grace that God wants to bring into our lives. Most people have actually colored outside the lines of life a little bit. I don't know whether you've ever had a parent of a toddler come to you and show you their beautiful drawings that their kids have done. When their kids first start colouring in and colouring in books, and I get them because I'm a grandfather, and my grandchildren present me every now and then with a drawing of me or Cheryl or their mother, and you look at these drawings and you're thinking, what the heck are you thinking? Like, do I really look like that to you? Like, my head is so big in proportion to the rest of my body. That's the way my little grandchild perceives me as the head of the family. Or they do a colour in, and it's just like scribble everywhere, all over the page. And yet they present it to you like, look at my beautiful work of art. And as an adult, you look at it and think, what the heck? What is this? And yet this child and their mother thinks it's so beautiful. so precious. And they frame it. And they keep it. We've still got stuff from our kids when they were little. Their scribbles. Their scrawls. And we laugh at it when they colour outside the lines of life. But for some reason, when people colour outside the lines of life, we lash out in judgment, we lash out in accusation, we lash out in isolation and in non-acceptance, and want to put them in a place called Lodabar. Yeah. Where nothing good ever happens, where they're in prison forever and they can never get out of it. It's a barren, fruitless land where nothing good is ever going to happen. Can I give you a little news update? An update from heaven. There are going to be some moments around your world, in your life, where you might just colour outside the lines a little bit. And when you do, you might go, oh, dang. Can you say that? Dang. Because you messed it up. And it doesn't quite look right. But it's all part of the grace story. It's all part of your grace story. And those little things that happen, they are just a chapter in the story. They're not the story. They're a chapter in the story. Anyone in the room got chapters today? Come on. Anyone got chapters you wish were silent chapters? Unseen chapters? Unheard chapters? They're chapters. And they're actually chapters that make your life a beautiful story. A beautiful story for others to read that others can relate to. You see, if you were perfect, nobody would relate to you. Nobody would relate to you if you're perfect. But the fact that you have coloured outside of the lines sometimes, and God in His grace and mercy and forgiveness has come and adjusted it, and He's encompassed that as part of your story and the beautiful picture of your life, it's a beautiful thing when God does that for us. See, God doesn't concentrate on the colour outside the lines. He just concentrates on the fact that you used colour. That you had a go. That you gave it a crack. And you might have missed it. You might have messed it. You might have goofed it. You might have stuffed it. You might have sinned. You might have done lots of things. God in His grace, if you keep pursuing Him. God in His grace, if you keep coming towards Him. God in His grace, if you keep loving on Him, will engage and embrace those moments and shelter those moments in your life. He's just so excited that you are colouring in. He's just so excited that you prayed yesterday. He's just so excited that you joined us in church today and online today. He's just so excited that you had the courage to lift your hands today and give Him some praise today when you didn't feel like it, because your feelings were drawing you away. Your failings were drawing you away. God's just so excited that you came today. You know, one of the things that I think we need to be very, very careful of is that we don't focus on the colour outside the lines. That we don't focus on picking up rocks. We talked about that the other week. Picking up rocks of judgment and hurling them at people. See, we've been really well schooled in rock throwing. We're really well schooled. The church worldwide is well schooled in rock throwing. And I've been saying it every week, and I believe it with all my heart. It's time to drop your rocks. Drop the rocks of judgment and open up with hands of grace towards each other, ourselves, and the world. And to understand that there is no condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus. There's no condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus. And so the Father's not looking at you and condemning you today. The Bible says Jesus did not come into the world to condemn the world. He came into the world to save the world. You should be feeling saved today, not condemned. Saved today, not condemned. You see, I've spent years and years telling people about the incredible plan that God has for their lives. Telling people how much God loves them, believes in them, endorses them, authorizes them, approves them, validates them. And when God authorizes you and God validates you and God approves you, you don't need anyone else to validate you, approve you, endorse you, promote you. God does that. He's your Father. He's your Father, and He does that. Now, I love the fact that Trent used the same verse I'm going to right now, Jeremiah 29:11, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord." And we don't talk, we never talk, we don't share, we never share. He just came up with that himself, and I came up with this myself, and God put the whole thing together. "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. They are plans for your good." Everyone say good. Plans for your good. You want to know what God plans for you? Good. That's what He plans. Not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope. Here's the deal. When I say that once or twice a year, everyone's okay with it. But when I say that over and over and over and over, sometimes people get a little bit Lodabarish on me with that. A little bit Lodabarish on me, thinking, well, you don't know who I am. You don't know where I've been. You don't know what I've done. You don't know where I live. You don't know how I live. And people feeling defined by Lodabar more than defined by the promise of God. People that suffer because of what life has done to them or what they've done to life with dead dog-itis. People that have a hard time receiving the fact that God has repositioned you to live a new way, to be a brand new person, to live with a hope and a future and a promise of God that defines your life. To stop being a person that is defined by Lodabar, defined by that barren land, that barren, fruitless place where nothing good happens and expectation is low. You see, grace is not about what we deserve. Grace is about what God has provided. It's not about what we deserve. Thank God, God does not give us what we deserve. He does not give us what we deserve. He gives us what He has provided for us. Grace is about the table that God has set for us and invited us to sit at. Grace is about the kingdom God has invited us to belong to. Grace is about the position as sons and daughters that God has given to every one of us. Grace is about living in the undeserved blessing and the undeserved favor of God. You and I don't deserve anything we get. In fact, we deserve the opposite. But God gives us good because He plans and declares good over our lives. Grace is about redemption and lift. And thank God for that. He redeems us and He lifts us. He redeems us and He lifts us. He brings us out of Lodabar and He lifts the bar and He sets us in high places with Christ Jesus. Aren't you so glad today that God has brought you out to bring you in? He's brought you out to bring you in. He brings us out of isolation. He brings us into community. He brings us out of lostness into the family of God. He brings us out of having no table to sit at, where we're encouraged, to living in the King's presence, in the King's table, ruling and reigning in life. Secondly, people struggle with embracing this new position. We really do. We struggle with embracing this new position because we feel like we have to earn it. So firstly, we struggle with accepting what we don't deserve. Secondly, we struggle with embracing this new position that God has created for us. With embracing the thought that you are a VIP child of God. In actual fact, we're all VIP childs of God. We all are. Every single one of us. Whether you're brand new in the family of God, whether you've been coming to church and in the family of God forever, you are a VIP child of God. Whether you've got everything going on in life or whether you've got some struggles and some troubles and some stress and strife going on, you are a VIP child of God. Your life coloring book might look a little bit messy. God still smiles. He's still proud of it. He's still proud of you. Your picture's still in His wallet. Aren't you glad today? Your picture is still in God's wallet. So we need to get comfortable with the fact that God has repositioned us to His table, to His presence, to His family. I want to wrap up today by imagining this scene that we started our story with today. I want you to imagine a typical day, 30 days on from our opening scene, where the dinner bell sounds and King David is seated at the head of his table, the king's table. His daughter Tamar arrives. Now Tamar, the Bible says, is a beautiful woman, lovely, elegant, full of poise, grace, and dignity. She takes her seat beside the king. The next one who comes to the table is Ammon. He is the king's son. He's crafty. He's deceitful. He's known for his slyness. He takes his seat at the other side of the king. Next comes Absalom. He walks in, holds his head high. He's handsome. He's charismatic. He's the socialite. He engages with people well. He greets the king. He greets Tamar. He greets his brother. And he sits at the table, talking to everybody, telling everybody stories, got them laughing. He's working the room. Moments later, Solomon walks in. Solomon, he's the one in the family known for his wisdom. Known for his wisdom. He arrives at the table. He's studious. He's intelligent. He's refined. He's composed. He's very confident and comfortable in the presence of the king, his father. They're all seated at the table, chatting, engaging. And then it just goes quiet because they're waiting to eat, but there's still somebody to come to the table. You can hear him coming as he enters the courtyard. In the deathly silence, you hear clump, clump, clump. As he staggers his way in on a crutch, up the stairs, across the stones. Everyone's waiting for him. It seems to go on forever. And then Mephibosheth finally arrives at the doorway of the room. Everyone looks at him. He makes his way over to the table, which seems like an eternity for him to get there. He places his crutches down beside the table, takes his seat. The servants push his seat in. Mephibosheth has finally arrived. He sits at the table. He puts his crippled legs under the table. And finally, he looks like everybody else. He's at this table, not particularly comfortable. He wonders if he'll ever will be. There's been plenty of days in the last 30 days that Mephibosheth has wanted to walk away from the table. Because although he looked like everyone else when he sat there, he knows that under the table was hiding something. His brokenness. His crippledness. The thing that made him different in his head from everyone else was disguised by the table. You see, Mephibosheth didn't know what we know. We know today that everyone else that sat at that table, although they looked elegant, beautiful, dignified, respectful, full of wisdom, they had their issues. They all had their issues. I say this to people all the time. We all have issues. We just have different issues. You got issues. I got issues. We got issues. You get an issue. You get an issue. You get an issue. We all get issues. But the beauty of the king's table is when you're in his presence, it's all hidden in Christ Jesus. It's all hidden. The Bible says your life is hidden in Christ Jesus. There is nothing else in life you can hide in but the presence of the king. He welcomes you, whether you're from Lodabar, the bottom of the food chain, wherever it might be. And I want to promise you, there'll be days when you feel like you shouldn't be at the king's table, you shouldn't be in the king's presence, but they are the days more than ever. You need to clump, 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 and come to the table. And don't judge yourself by anyone else that sits at the table. Because here's the problem. We look at each other and think, oh, they're beautiful. They're perfect. Look at them. Look at their family. Look at their marriage. Look at their life. Look at their job. Look at their car. Look at their home. Comparison. Comparison will always keep you in Lodabar. It'll keep you in Lodabar. Get your eyes off them. Look at the King. Look at the King. He's the one that's invited you to the table, not them. We all sit at the table with our issues, and we've been welcomed to this table. It's called the family of God, the kingdom of God, God's house. And there'll be days when your impulses, your feelings will try and draw you away. Your failings will try and pull you away. Family and friends may even try and pull you out of position in terms of being at the King's table. Your past might try and pull you away. To go back to Lodabar, see, Lodabar's comfortable. Lodabar's convenient. Lodabar's familiar. But Lodabar is not where you belong. You got a new postcode. You got a new postcode. Your postcode is 7777. 7777. Everyone say 77? 77. 7 is God's number. 7 is God's number. It's a number of perfection. And even though you aren't perfect, He stamped you with 7777. That is your new postcode. I want us to be inspired today by Mephibosheth as we close off our series on scandalous grace. That when you're enticed to fall away because of your own crippled condition, your own humanity, your circumstances, that you would deny the tug to pull away. Deny the tug to leave the King's presence and to leave the King's table. And remind yourself of these facts. I may not deserve to be here, but the King has called me here. King has called me here. The Bible says no one can come to God except God called them. He called you here. He called you here. He called you into His presence and to His table and into the life that you're living because He loves you. And He doesn't love you for anything you can do for Him, give Him. Nothing. He just loves you. And He wants you here. Someone needs to say that to themselves today. He wants me here. He wants me here with His family. I am His son. I am His daughter. In spite of what others think, in spite of what others say, in spite of what I feel and what I say, He wants me here. In spite of the fact I colored outside of the lines, in spite of all of that, I'm invited. And so I accept the invitation. Would you stand to your feet? I accept the invitation. You know, when you decide to accept the invitation, you walk into the room with a different confidence. You walk into the room with a spirit and an attitude and a heart that says, I belong here. I belong here. You hold yourself differently. You belong here. When you feel like you don't belong, you're cowering around the place. That's what happens when you feel like you don't belong. When you don't belong, you feel like a misfit. I want you to know you belong today. I want you to know you belong today. You need to behave like you belong. Walk into the room like you belong. Eat at the table. When you eat at a table that you belong at, man, you eat. You know what I mean? You know, you can't wait for them to say grace. You're into it. You're holding back, not holding back, because you're with family. You know when it's a family dinner? It's a family dinner. It's just like sit at the fridge and just enjoy all the delicacies that the King has provided for you. So I'm going to accept everything the King's provided. Everything the King's provided. I'm going to hide my humanness at His table. I'm going to hide my humanness in His divinity. It's going to clothe me. The Bible says I've been given a robe of righteousness, a crown. A crown and a robe of righteousness. You can choose to live in mourning or you can choose to live in freedom. I'm going to live free. Everyone say live free.
Live free.
I'm going to live bold. I'm going to live big. I'm going to live loud. And I'm going to live proud. Why? Child of the King. Child of the King. Be promoted from low to bar. I mean, that's like saying you come from Slacks Creek, from Woodbridge, from Gladstone, where I grew up. Mount Isa. Yeah, Mount Isa's about as low to bar as you can get. That's about as low as you go right there, Mount Isa. Seriously. Can anything good come out of the Isa? Is anything good happening in the Isa? There's a whole lot of good going on right there. Right there.
Yeah.
The Isa girl. New postcode. 7777. I can just imagine Mephibosheth sitting at that table. Just think of the songs we sung today. He's sitting at that table. Everything's changing now. Keep playing that one, that's good, but everything's changing now. Miracles are happening now around me. He might have still been crippled, but his life changed forever. Imagine going from living in Lodabar to having the king say, I'm giving you all the land your father owned. I'm giving you all the land that King Saul owned. I'm going to give you servants for the rest of your life. They will serve you. They will work the land. Do you know, when you become a child of God, God will provide and make the way for you as you keep pursuing Him to do good in your life. He will empower you. He will provide for you in your life as you continue to walk with Him and represent Him as a family member. I can imagine Mephibosheth sitting at that table singing Amazing Grace. My chains are gone. I've been set free. My God, my Savior has rescued me. And like a flood, His mercy reigns. Unending love. Mephibosheth that sang like that on that day. You and I are sitting at that table. I just want you to lift your head up today. I really want you to know that God just wants you to lift your head. Lift your head and understand, because of His amazing grace, you belong at that table. Why doesn't every Mephibosheth in the room and online today sing it to heaven loud and proud? My chains are gone. I've been set free. My God, my Savior has ransomed me. And like a flood, His mercy reigns. Unending love.
Amazing grace.
Amazing
day changed his life forever. That day turned his world around. He could never imagine the appointment and the difference that that day would make when he learned to sit at the king's table and convinced himself that I belong here. I belong here with Tamar. I belong here with Ammon. I belong here with Solomon. And most importantly, I belong here with the king. I belong with the king. What a privilege it is to sit in the presence of a king. What a privilege to be invited by the king. To get the invitation. When you get the invitation, you feel so privileged. God gives you an invitation today. It's got your name on it. It's got your name on it. It just says you're invited. You're invited. You're invited to his kingdom. You're invited to his table. If you've not invited Jesus Christ into your heart, if you've not invited Jesus to become the Lord of your life, now would be a really good time. Now would be a good time. If you're online today and you've had your life defined by every other voice and all the things that have happened in your world and in your life that have been determining who you are, dictating your behaviors, your thoughts, your patterns, your habits, your lifestyle, it's time to get a new definer. It's time to be redefined. It's time to be redeemed and lifted by Jesus and the love and the grace and the mercy that he has for you. If you're online today and you want to make that decision to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, just in the comment section, just go, "That's me. That's me." One of our team will get to you very quickly and respond. And we're going to pray for you. We're going to pray for people in the room today. Maybe you're here today in the room and you want to give your life to Jesus Christ today. Maybe you've made that decision some time ago, but you know you're far from God today and you just want to bring your heart home. Bring your heart home today in terms of that. Then I'm going to invite you to lift up your hand in a moment. Look me right in the eye. Everyone else is going to have their heads bowed, their eyes closed. It's going to be a private, personal moment just for you. Just for you. I'm going to ask you to lift up your hand nice and high in a moment, and I'm going to pray a prayer for you. And then I'd love to meet you just for a moment and shake your hand or say a quick prayer for you after the service, just in a private way. And if that's you today, and maybe it's your first time, or maybe it's been a long time ago and you're bringing your heart home today, here's your invitation to receive Jesus into your heart, your world, your life today. So while every person's got their head bowed, their eyes closed, if that's you, would you lift up your hand nice and high if you're in the room today? Lift up your hand nice and high. Let me see your hand today if that's you. And then if you're online today, just put, "That's me. That's me." And we're going to be praying with you. We're going to be praying for you today in Jesus' name. Thank you. See that hand. Thank you. You can put your hand down. Somebody else, is that you today? Is that your decision today? You're responding to the invitation God has given you today. If you're online, that's me. Put that in the comments section. Father, I pray today for those that are responding right now online in the room today, lifting hands, making comments. Father, in Jesus' name, today come and move people's hearts. Come and change people's minds. Come and elevate people's posture towards you and your kingdom and your family. And Lord, do good, do good, do good, do good. Forgive people of their sins today. Lord, start a new relationship with you is what I pray. Father, as people turn to you, as they repent of their sins today, as they seek your face like never before, as they do that, Father, that you'll come in like a flood. You'll begin something new, something brand new, and your life, their life will be put on a whole new trajectory today because of your amazing grace today. We thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. Why don't you give a hand for those that respond and are responding today in Jesus' name. Come on, my chains are gone. Let's sing it as we close today.
Chains are gone. I've been set.
So grateful, we are so thankful that it saves us, that it sustains us, and it brings us amazing, beautiful future promises. Bless our day, bless our week, for all of our family and friends online today also. Father, just be with people. Bless them in their families, their homes, their finances today, every area of life. Just help move life forward for people today. People that feel a little bit bruised, a little bit beaten up, a little bit broken in life today, to know that it's okay to sit at the King's table. You belong. You belong. You belong. We bless you today, Father. We thank you for all things, Jesus. Amen. 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 God bless you, church. Have an amazing week. Cafe's open for hospitality. Our food outlet is also open for those that want to go and check it out for some groceries and bargains today. God bless you. Thank you to our online family for being with us today. Have an amazing week. Thank you.